Well, this isn't exactly the kind of music I guess we're thinking about. We're talking about storms.
No.
I mean, Van Halen gets you fired up. It doesn't really get you excited to go right into the eye of the storm, but it sounds like that's what Bruce Bishop is thinking about doing this weekend. We've got Lisa Roberson of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram in studio with us. We'll give Bruce a quick shout-out. Because, of course, you know, we've had Bruce in the show before a couple times. He's the one that actually filmed Matt and I. So when you go to the app and you got to watch that video of us over and over and over
again. Blame him.
Yeah, blame Bruce. Blame Bruce. But he actually took a really awesome photo yesterday. In case you haven't seen it, it's been circulating throughout social media. And it was really impressive. Man, I heard that storm last night. I didn't really see it, per se, because it was the middle of the night. But Lisa, you can back us up on this. That's what Bruce does.
Yeah. How you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing well.
If you know Bruce, then you know storm chasing and weather pictures is part of his passion. It's kind of his hobby and what he loves to do. And he has a motto of go early and stay late. So
wow.
He is there. And so he said he was actually having a very unproductive session yesterday evening. And he just was like, I'm taking pictures and just not getting that shot. And then finally, kind of at the end of the story, he got this beautiful picture of this, of all of the lightning coming together, and it's crashing right behind the lighthouse up in Lorain. He's over there by Jackalope Restaurant trying to capture that shot, and it's actually really great.
Yeah, it was a beautiful shot. I had the opportunity to see that on Facebook. Maybe you know. I'm curious how he catches that, because I'm thinking lightning only flashes like that. You've got to be ready. So is the thing just taking pictures the entire time? That fascinated me as I took a look at that shot.
See, that's why you have to have him on, because he can answer
that's
all
true,
these
yeah.
questions for you about how he's taking these pictures and all of the equipment he has, because he wants to get just that perfect shot. And lightning strikes so fast, you have to have the shutter speed just right and all the other technical nuances.
Sure. He posted some cool pictures from the Cleveland National Air Show this weekend, too.
Yeah. No, and that's a perfect opportunity to go in there and get some good shots. But the picture of the lightning was awesome. Like, that's
beautiful.
The kind of picture you expect to see, like, on the cover of a book.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was really, really cool stuff.
That's one of the great things about the Chronicle-Telegram. We have a really phenomenal photography staff. We have three great photographers, and they're award-winning, and they're always taking really good shots. And
sure.
Very cool stuff.
Well, we got Bull.
You got me.
I said we got Bull. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, me,
just a bit, just poking funny. It's
yeah,
all
me,
good.
Me and photos.
Good stuff.
Yeah, me and photos do not go well together.
See, that's the difference. You can tell a newspaper that really invests in their photography staff because it pays off. And those kind of photos that people saw today on A2, and it's this color photo, and it's amazing.
Sure, very cool stuff. Well, I want to begin with some of the work that you put together over the course of the past week, and I want to begin with a local establishment, the Cascade Cafe. You know, want to kind of get your thoughts on what's going on over there with the shift in ownership and, more importantly, the crowdsourcing efforts, the push to try and raise some money in order to, for that ownership to kind of the whole circle to come complete.
A lot of people know the owner, Todd. He's been there, you know, from the start, and he's a hometown boy. He was born and raised here, and he's kind of done some time out in Florida and some time in Pennsylvania, and he came back about 4 years ago to open Cascade Cafe. And it's just that downtown home-style restaurant where you're getting great eggs and pancakes, and you're going to know the owner because he's back there cooking it for you. And so now he wants to go back to Pennsylvania and spend some time with his family. He's got some sons that he wants to, you know, spend some more time with. And so he has a niece, Katie, who is trying to crowdsource the money to buy the business from her uncle. Her crowdfunding, it's not going well at the moment. She has raised about $275 of her $10,000 goal that she's looking towards. So she's looking for other funding streams to kind of like help push her there. And she just kind of, if you went to the business early on when it first opened, then you know Katie, because Katie was the first person you saw, and she kind of knew everyone's name, and she's this really sweet gal. And you know, if she can pull it off, it'd be great for her.
Sure. What would happen if she doesn't pull? Do they want to keep it in the family? Have you heard any thoughts of what they possibly want to do, or are they just going to let it go?
Well, when I spoke to him last week, he says, you know, I don't have to sell, you know, but if Katie can take it over, that'd be great. But it's not, I'm not at a position where he has to sell it.
Sure.
Interesting stuff. And I mean, I just reading that story, I mean, I guess I didn't realize how big they were in the community, because it sounds like a lot of people have really kind of gotten behind this. And there are some people that are, I think, to a certain degree, sad to see them go, but they're excited about the prospects of this thing in the future.
Yes. I mean, they won't go. If Katie gets it, then they won't go. It's going to still be the same Cascade Cafe. There's a lot of things about them that I love. I love their pay it forward wall that they had, you know, and I'm a frequent visitor of Cascade Cafe. That's the reason why I knew about the pay it forward wall. I happened to come in one day and see this, you know, board up, and there's just post-it notes of, you know, one coffee or one egg breakfast. And I'm like, Todd, what is that? And he says, well, it's a, you know, I want to make sure that everyone can eat regardless of if they have the money to pay for it. So, and some people are a little bit more fortunate than others, and those fortunate people make sure that the unfortunate people can eat.
Huh. So it's sort of a take what you need type thing, where somebody pays for a toast and you take it off the board.
You come in for breakfast and you decide that you're going to buy two breakfasts and you're going to eat one and leave one for someone else.
That's cool.
That's cool. So if, you know, if his niece keeps this thing, they're keeping the same philosophies intact.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Very cool stuff. And again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, part of our local Beat with Lisa, brought to you by 9-Round Kickbox Fitness. Well, last week we talked about the new owner of the Midway Mall. And along those same lines now, you wrote something last week talking about the old Walmart on West River Road. Someone has taken over that location. What could you tell us about that?
The new owners of that property will be moving in a business called Car Parts Warehouse, and it's a growing business. It's been around for about 40 years, and they have locations all over Northeast Ohio, and it's a aftermarket car parts distributor. So Elyria will be one of their distribution points. You know, the warehouse, old Walmart, is, you know, can be a warehouse and has, you know, the docks for trucks. And, you know, has lots of space to hold the inventory, so it's going to be a good location for them, and they can move, you know, their products further west in Ohio. And so, you know, we're looking forward to them coming.
When I read the description of the store, I was kind of curious. So is this like an actual store you'd go into and get the parts, or do they just sort of distribute your order online and they have them there? And it, how does it work? Do you know?
It's a little bit of both. They have some smaller locations where you can kind of go in and get parts, but it takes out the middleman of picking up the parts. They pick them right up for the manufacturers.
Obviously a very good sign with, you know, new buyers for the Midway Mall, you know, new buyers for that old Walmart location. What are your thoughts on that kind of having a domino effect with some of the other spots and their lots in the area?
Okay. Well, if you recall, the owners of Midway Mall, the Namdar Realty Group, they actually own that shopping center, the River Street Shopping Center, and the Walmart property. They actually owned the Walmart property until they sold it. So I guess this fits well into their philosophy of like working on the outskirts of the mall and trying to fill those properties and then working on the internal components of the mall. And so they have this first step here where they have this, you know, this business going in. And so now we'll see what else they're going to do. But in that same vein, there's some activity going on over there. There's going to be a new business that's moving into the Macy's facility. Macy's is not owned by the mall. Macy's is an individually owned business and property. And so they're moving in a Johnny K Power Sports kind of place. You're going to get, you know, the Sea-Doos and the all-terrain vehicles and motorcycles. And they have locations in Niles and Lodi and Brook Park. So this will be the first one in Lorain County.
Very cool stuff. So it really kind of seems like that whole area has really kind of picked up some steam. And I think there's got to be something to be said for the renewed enthusiasm with somebody buying the Midway Mall, right?
I would think so. And if you've spent any time in the last year looking at the Lorain County Auditor's website, there's a lot of properties that are moving over there in and around that area. All the properties around the, you know, the Dick's Sporting Goods, the properties around the Target, and the properties around, you know, the mall itself. Everyone's buying parts and pieces of that. So I think everyone's waiting for some kind of development, and they want to know what's going to be the first domino to fall. So those parts and pieces were moving even before the mall was sold.
Sure. Seems like there's a lot of excitement based around that. You can still sort of see the remnants of what that mall used to be. My understanding, when my wife was here in her teenage years, she'd come to the mall and hang out, and it sort of lost that effect. But it seems like a lot of Elyria is sort of picking up steam from that, the excitement of the new owner coming in, what it possibly could be as well. And I know you talked to the mayor. I would think that's something they're obviously very excited about, too.
Yes, they're very excited about that. And I know a lot of people want to say that the mall is not picking up steam, but it's just shopping malls in general are changing in this, you know, year of 2017, when everything you need can be purchased at, you know, your fingertips and your phone. And so now you have to give people reasons to actually go into their physical space. But I've been reading lots of studies about malls, and they said that still 80% of shopping is still done in brick and mortar stores. People may look online, but, you know, they still like to go into the store, and they like to look for merchandise, and they like to still purchase it into a store.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I guess I'm not too shocked by that, only because I'm a lot in the same way. I'll do a lot of my research online, but if I want to purchase something, I want to go in and see it. You know what I mean? I want to buy it from somebody else, not just buy it from a machine. You know, so I guess I'm not totally shy. I mean, boy, 80% does sound kind of high, though. But, yeah. I mean, still, I don't know.
Well, hey, I'm in the market for a new mattress right now, and I've looked online for hours, but you can't buy a mattress unless you lay down on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right?
That's not something you just want to risk, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things you probably shouldn't buy online. You're right, that's one of them. Why would you buy something you can't actually test out on your own?
You know, and I can only speak for myself when it comes to shopping, but I like to try clothing on. I want to see how the material feels against my skin, and I want to see, you know, if the pants are long enough for me. I may look online to see what sales any particular store may have, if it's, you know, Macy's or JCPenney's or, you know, but I still want to try it on.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think shorts and pants, I don't know why. I think those are the hardest things in the world to buy. Like, they have to be comfortable the right way, and that's where I think the mall comes in handy. Plus, I always think the malls, like, come in handy as a place where you don't traditionally go. They've got your, like, sports memorabilia stores and things like that in there, that FYIs and things that you wouldn't usually just go to, I don't know, like a Walmart to get, I feel.
FYI is kind of like a hidden treasure, man. I used to love that place.
I've been in that store once.
Oh, really?
With my son, and I said I'm never coming back again because my son made me spend way too much
money. Yeah, you can do that.
Just picking up items that he wants.
I'm a big DVD collector, and I end up like stuck with like 18 seasons and series of things. I'm like, whoops, I didn't need to spend that much.
But see, that place kind of brings you back in time, too, because they don't just have old DVDs. Like, some of those places, they sold cassette tapes, for crying out loud. Like, I didn't know they still sold cassette tapes. I mean, like, they've got CDs, they've got records, and I mean, you said your son wanted to go. They've got, like, got figures. Like, they got,
he
like,
wanted
action
posters,
figures, posters.
And virtual reality glasses, that's cool. And that's how we ended up in there.
Yeah, and they've got everything. And I feel like, you know, you can go to stores like that. They're still out there. They're harder to find now, but they're out there because stuff like that you can purchase. When you purchase a DVD, you know exactly what you're getting, but, you know, it doesn't totally shock me that a lot of people want to go out, like you said, with clothing. You got to try your clothing on, right? I mean, you're not just going to buy something you think looks nice. It might look nice, but you don't know how it's going to look on you.
Sure.
So the whole 80%, like I said, that felt like it might be a little bit high, but now that you explain it, you're right. There are a lot of things.
When you're on the internet, you can find a study to back up anything. So I read one, and I can probably find a second one to contradict that one.
True. Yeah. Very true. Very, very cool stuff. Well, Lisa, always a pleasure to have you here in studio. I'm sure Bruce is loving the idea of the shout-out that you gave him. And in all seriousness, if you haven't seen Bruce's picture, check it out. It's out there on social media. It really, really was kind of cool. We'll see if we can get Bruce in here to explain some of his methods to his madness and see if he really does want to go down and track that hurricane this weekend.
Bruce has become an authority on weather. You know, there's a few people who know him, and if they know a storm's coming in, you'll ask him, you know, is it okay if I go out? You know, what's the weather going to be like? And he'll pull up a radar real quick and let you know. And so you should have him in.
That's what I get from his Facebook account. It's weather and things you dig up in your backyard. Bruce will know everything about it.
He's also into metal detecting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Lisa. Thank you for coming in.